This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The 10th annual BRICS summit comes at a time when South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is on a mission to secure $100 billion worth of investments within 5 years.
That's Nadia Salmi reporting from Johannesburg. We'll have the latest from the BRICS summit coming up. Also, Zimbabwe prepares for a historic election on Monday, the first in 38 years without former leader Robert Mugabe on the ballot. The IOM assisted a record number of West African migrants to voluntarily return home from Niger this year, and at least 15 senators and 33 House of Representatives members defect from Nigeria's ruling All Progressives Congress. We'll have these stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, Zimbabwe prepares for a historic election on Monday, the first in 38 years, without former leader Robert Mugabe on the ballot. But voters and observers are cautious in their optimism amid concerns over whether it will be a free and fair poll and whether the next president will deliver on promises to bring change. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the streets of the capital, Harare.
The 55 political parties and 22 presidential candidates in Zimbabwe's upcoming election are all peddling some version of the same thing. Change. More jobs. A better economy. More or less a new dawn for a nation that for nearly four decades was ruled by one man, Robert Mugabe. But in this nation of more than 5 million voters, not everyone is convinced that change will come. 27-year-old Widnance Dick has already seen the dawn. On this morning, as on many others, she sat on the cold sidewalk, wrapped in a flimsy coat, waiting since 3 a.m. in front of a Harare bank for the one thing that every Zimbabwean, it seems, can't get enough of. Hard cash. Mugabe is largely blamed for policies and poor management that left the economy in ruins and forced Zimbabwe to abandon its own currency a decade ago. Dick says she's fed up and plans to vote on Monday for opposition leader Nelson Chamisa. We want to get U.S. dollars without having to queue at the bank, she said. 8 months after President Emmerson Mnangagwa's inauguration, the economy is little improved. Mnangagwa, who took over in November after Mugabe's forced resignation, promised at his inauguration that he would take urgent action to fix the cash crisis. That hasn't happened yet. But not everyone is pessimistic. In the capital, feelings about the poll, in which Mnangagwa is the frontrunner, vary widely. 33-year-old project manager Kudzai Marongwe says he's thrilled to have a chance to vote in a poll that is freer than any in his lifetime. Election observers said Mugabe-era elections were marred by irregularities and allegations of intimidation and rigging.
Very much excited. The environment has been pretty peaceful, and the campaigning has been peaceful as well. And we've been going about our businesses normally, without fear or anything. So yeah, it's been great.
Entrepreneur Pamela Ngube, who is 57, says she's still loyal to the ruling ZANU-PF party and has faith in them.
It's going to create many jobs for our youngsters, for our people.
But first-time voter Trifi Givondo, who is 20, says she's pessimistic. She plans to vote for Chamisa's Movement for Democratic Change.
I'm not sure there's ever going to be real change. So there's not that much excitement for the meantime. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's just the same for years and years. So there's not that much hope.
Observers are reserving their judgment amid accusations of voter intimidation and problems with the voter roll. But rights groups say there is reason to be hopeful. Amnesty International's Lloyd Kuvea.
Our partners on the ground have been saying that there is subtle voter intimidation, which is not as blatant as what we have witnessed before in 2008.
This is a major test for a nation that has only been led by one man since independence. Whoever wins faces an uphill battle to fix the broken economy and restore credibility to government institutions battered by inefficiency and corruption. And so, as Monday approaches, Zimbabwe holds its breath. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
Thank you, Anita. Well, ZAPU, Zimbabwe's oldest political formation, got its start in 1961 as a multi-ethnic freedom movement. The political fortunes of ZAPU, which is fielding candidates in Monday's general elections, experienced a downward turn after Zimbabwe's independence in 1980. The subsequent elections, which ushered in the government of Robert Mugabe, saw ZAPU initially being part of the government. The time was short-lived, however, as recriminations from the ruling ZANU-PF began to mount. Party leader Joshua Nkomo and several others left the government, marking a difficult period in the country's history. Reporter Eddie Gondo gives us more on ZAPU's political history and current political activities.
ZAPU was one of the casualties of deposed dictator Mugabe's one-party state ambition and brutal repression. Today, it is one of the over 130 political parties vying for parliamentary seats in Monday's general election. Interestingly, ZAPU is not fielding a presidential candidate, with its current leader, war veteran Dumiso Dabengwa, preferring to back the MDC alliance's Nelson Chamisa instead. ZAPU is fielding 76 parliamentary candidates representing constituencies throughout the country. ZAPU spokesman Epitule Makosa explained his party's strategy.
As ZAPU and as ZIPRA, we have not yet achieved the change that we expected to get from the events of November 2017. So we are actually working at achieving that, not for ZAPU, not for ZIPRA, but for the people of Zimbabwe to enjoy the Zimbabwean dream. We need a complete overhaul of the system that is in place today. We need a total shift from the current approach of national events and the leadership question to that of inclusivity, dignity and equality for all Zimbabweans. That's what we are working at. That is what informs our support of MDC Alliance and its president, presidential candidate Nelson Chamisa, the need for Zimbabwe to rid itself of the military establishment that took power in 2017.
ZAPU's political clout cannot be underestimated, according to political analyst Dumisani Nkomo, who believes that ZAPU's Chamisa endorsement is of symbolic value, especially to what he calls the command element in the security cluster.
And their endorsement of Chamisa is significant because they also do have significant influence over sections of the command section of the state. So their endorsement is also quite telling because of their history and the influence that they have. They do have that influence, especially with some sections of the military. And that will come in handy if there's a problem with transfer of power.
Nkomo's view may be given credence by the fact that the current commander-in-chief of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, Valerius Banda, is a former ZIPRA cadre. ZIPRA was the military wing of ZAPU during the liberation struggle. There are, however, voters such as Becky Moyo who believe that ZAPU is no longer the force that it once was and feels pessimistic about their chances at the polls.
But the unification of PF ZAPU with ZANU, a very big faction of PF ZAPU and its values and fundamentals were lost, bringing to it quite a measurable disbelief. You can measure this with the number of seats, parliamentary seats that they got in 1980, got in 1985. Beyond that, they ceased to become a power or a force to reckon with.
The challenge of ZAPU is the challenge of most freedom movements in Africa, how to parlay that revolutionary experience into a development agenda that is forward-looking. To be fair, however, ZAPU has never had a real chance to implement what its spokesperson calls the Zimbabwean dream, and one wonders how they will fare at the polls given the two-horse race narrative of Zimbabwean politics today. Still, ZAPU's presence in Zimbabwean politics has perhaps more of a symbolic and historical value than any other party. It is, after all, the mother party of Zimbabwean revolutionaries. Reporting for VOA, this is Adi Gondo.
Lee leaders of the world's emerging economies are wrapping up the 10th annual BRICS summit in South Africa. Now Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have signed the Johannesburg Declaration, which makes fighting terrorism a priority. The countries have also committed to paving the way for additional trade and investment among themselves. Nadia Same reports from Johannesburg.
The 10th annual BRICS summit comes at a time when South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is on a mission to secure $100 billion worth of investments within 5 years. Before the opening session, he had already locked down a $14.7 billion commitment from Chinese President Xi Jinping. The leader of the Asian giant has also said he'll take active measures to boost imports from South Africa to balance out the trade relationship. Senior political analyst at NKC African Economics, Gary Van Staden, says South Africa must now ensure it's ready from a legislative point of view to make that happen.
The regulatory framework that might need a bit of adjusting, because obviously what is China going to want in terms of its imports into South Africa? As usual, I think we await the detail, but I think it's a positive development and I think that our businesses will jump at the opportunity.
Several meetings have been taking place on the sidelines of the 10th BRICS summit. On Friday, the five BRICS leaders held outreach meetings, one with invited African heads of state and another with non-African leaders. But Van Staden says it remains to be seen if anything tangible will actually flow from these high-level talks.
We've seen very little that's actually flowed from any previous summit between the BRICS countries. So hopefully this time will be different and that we might see some positive developments. But on the basis of what we've seen before, I'm not hugely hopeful we're going to see anything significant.
The elephant in the room at this BRICS summit was the United States, which has been pulling out of international agreements and shrugging off conventional trade relations. Now Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa have hit back, resolving to create a new world order which shuns unilateralism. As the Chinese leader puts it, BRICS must broaden its circle of friends. And that, Van Staden says, is one of the most important aspects of this summit.
I think the biggest takeout is that there needs to be some level of cooperation that is going to endorse a multilateral trade system with or without the United States. And I think that there have been serious discussions on the sidelines during the conference in the little dark smoke-filled rooms about how to deal with a global trade environment that is under some threat. Is there going to be some kind of a spark, creating certainly something that makes us far less dependent on what some of the big players decide?
But it wasn't all business at the summit, though. The five BRICS leaders also took time out to make imprints of their hands, which will be displayed alongside those of former South African President Nelson Mandela. Many development specialists hope this is a symbol of cooperation, which will make a positive imprint on economic growth, much as the late president's policies did for domestic politics. For VOA Africa, I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. At 18 minutes past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Zimbabwe prepares for a historic election on Monday, the first in 38 years without former leader Robert Mugabe on the ballot. And leaders of the world's emerging economies wrapped up their 10th annual BRICS summit in South Africa. For more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The International Organization for Migration has assisted a record number of West African migrants to voluntarily return home from Niger in 2018, and the year is barely half over. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from IOM headquarters in Geneva.
The UN Migration Agency calls this a milestone. This week, it reports more than 10,000 migrants from 10 West African countries were returned home from Niger. This compared to roughly 7,000 migrants who were voluntarily repatriated during all of last year. IOM says more than 8,000 of the migrants were discovered during 84 search and rescue operations. Most of them were found in the desert near the towns of Arlit and Assamaka in Niger, on the border with Algiers, the capital of Algeria. International Organization for Migration spokesman Joel Millman tells VOA, the migrants board buses south of Algiers, and when they arrive at the border, they often have to walk the rest of the way.
That's where we find they're the most vulnerable, and that's where we try to do our most work to find them and get them to safety as quickly as possible. But on the other hand, we've had cases of getting places too late. This has gone on for years, where there'll be dozens of victims. We can save some, but we find we're too late for others.
Despite the dangers of crossing the Sahara, Millman says the lure of making money in petroleum economies such as Libya and Algeria tempt many migrants to take their chances. He says the latest group of 391 migrants stranded at the border arrived 2 weeks ago. He says IOM transported 315 to the transit center in Arlit, 64 made their own way to that location, and 9 decided to head back to Algeria from Assamaka. Millman says IOM arranges airline and bus reservations for all migrants wishing to return to their countries of origin. He adds those who return often are provided with the means to start a small business. This is part of an assistance package to help them reintegrate into their communities. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
At least 15 senators and 33 House of Representatives members have defected from Nigeria's ruling All Progressives Congress to the main opposition People's Democratic Party. The moves this week have dealt a blow to President Muhammadu Buhari's re-election prospects as he also tries to deal with security concerns. Dr. Emmanuel Ona is a senior lecturer in the Department of Political Science, University of Lagos. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye about the implications of the defections. He says the ruling APC will still have an edge in the 2019 elections.
It did not come to me as a surprise because for weeks since the APC finished its national convention and then the state congresses and all that, it was already known to me that some senators will have to necessarily move. I said necessarily move because their stay in APC had come to an abrupt end. In the fact that they had lost out in the structures in their states. The structures, many of them were not in peace. They were not at peace with their governors. And these governors used the opportunity of the state congresses to get a firm hold of the structure, of the party structure in the states. Meaning that any other person who was not in line with the governors or who was outside the political structure in the states was not going to get nomination.
Do you think this will affect the chances of the APC in the 2019 general elections?
Certainly there are politicians, and there is no way the movement of a senator or a member of House of Reps will not be of significance either way. I mean, significance to the party they are leaving, significance to the party they are going into. Certainly they are. But I can just assure you now that because of what I just pointed out, that these are people who have lost out in the structures in their parties. The effect is going to be minimal structurally, and I think in the end, it depends on really how the governors of those states are going to manage the structures that they own.
Do you also see more lawmakers leaving the ruling party before the 2019 election?
Certainly. I see more lawmakers leaving the ruling party, but I also see many lawmakers leaving the opposition parties before the 2019 election. Reason being that from the next month to the next 2 months, all the parties will be conducting their nominations for the 2019 election. And the tendency in Nigeria has always been that when somebody who feels that he has some political wherewithal loses nomination in a party, is likely to cross over to the other party, maybe to take up the candidacy there.
There are also indications that the Senate president could dump the ruling party because of perceived disagreements between him and the presidency. What's your take on this?
Yeah, my take is that the presidency and the APC, they have not handled the situation of the Senate president well at all. The Senate president has not been in agreement with the principles of the ruling party ever since this party came to power. And yet, the people voted the party on certain principles, which the party continues claiming that they are pursuing. And this is somebody, a very highly placed person, number three man in your government, and he has never agreed with those principles. And they left him to remain in that party till now, 3 years on. And in all these 3 years, he has used his position as Senate president to come against the plans of the ruling party. I think they left him for too long. They should make him to move as quickly as possible so that they now know how many of them are in their party and how many are outside their party. So that when the Senate president acts, we now know he's acting from the perspective of another party and not from the perspective of the ruling party.
Do you think any of the defectors will likely become a presidential candidate?
Well, I know that some of them are presidential candidates. I know that Senator Rabiu Kwankwaso is a presidential candidate. I don't know the fate of Governor Tambuwa now, but I know that his idea is to defend the PDP and become a presidential candidate. These are aspirants, actually. So whether they will go on to become the candidate of the opposition PDP is not yet certain.
That was Dr. Emmanuel Ona, senior lecturer in the Department of Political Science at the University of Lagos. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Curtis Bynum, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo, your host of the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. From counting birds in the wild to discovering planets beyond our solar system, citizen scientists are non-professional, everyday people who have been playing an important role in furthering science research. I hope you'll join me on our next edition as we talk about citizen science. That's the Science Edition of Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.